Hi, I'm Jessica Williams of The Lens, and this is the District 1 Candidate Debate. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to produce these candidate debates, one for each district, to better inform readers and listeners. In this district, we have incumbent Ira Thomas, the chief of police for Southern University at New Orleans and a retired police lieutenant, and challenger Heidi Lovett Daniels, a professor at Southern University at New Orleans and a former Orleans Parish School Board vice president who served on the board from 2005 to 2008. Thank you both for coming out.
Thanks for having me, Jessica.
Thank you.
So we want to get right into the questions. And my very first question is, what do you see as some of the strengths of the Orleans Parish School Board? And what do you see that have been some of its weaknesses over the last 4 years? Please be as succinct as possible in your answer. And Heidi, I'll start with you since you're on my right.
Well, one of the strengths is that in order to operate a school district, it actually has to be open. So we recovered schools in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina, even though the state legislature through Act 35 had taken 117 schools. Two of the current challenges, I think, for the Orleans Parish School Board is, one, we have to hire a competent superintendent to lead the students and the parents in the direction for continued excellence and achievement. And two, we have to make sure that we have transparent policies in place that will return RSD schools back to the Orleans Parish School Board. And that process has to be not only transparent in terms of accountability, but it also has to be compassionate so that young people do not feel like adults don't care about their dreams.
Ira, would you like to go ahead and answer that?
Well, you know, in terms of strength, you know, what we have now is that we have a board that is working together and has worked together for the last 4 years to do what's in the best interest of children. We had a superintendent, Darrell Kilbert, who served well and did his job as a superintendent. 4 years ago, we didn't have that. 4 years ago, we had five incumbent school board members who decided to call it quits. My opponent was one of them, who walked away from the Board of Education in this city at a very critical time in our rebuilding process. So you had five new members to join two returning members, and we went to work, hit the ground as a team. We found a $13 million deficit there. We found over $500 million of legacy debt. We found a school district that was in academic crisis. We found a school district that was in financial high risk. So we had a lot of work to do. And so 4 years later, you know, I'm proud to say that we managed that $500 million of legacy debt to the tune where we are saving taxpayers now $27 million. I'm proud to say 4 years later, we're number one in the state in cohort graduation rate. We're number two in the state. Again, this year, the SPS scores have come out just the other day, and we're still at second place in the state in test scores and improving student achievement. So we are no longer a school in academic crisis. We're no longer a school that's in financial high risk. You know, so those are our strengths. You know, we have done the work. When our critics said it couldn't be done, we couldn't turn it around. Five incumbent opponents walked away from this job, and we came in and did the work. So this is a very, very strong school district now. And in terms of our challenges, it's going to be a challenge to hire the next superintendent, because Darrell Kilbert is a tough act to follow. You know, he came in, he rose through the ranks in the school district and worked on all levels in the district. So he understood what needed to be done. And he had a board standing behind him and allowed him to do his job. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge simply because he was such a great leader.
Heidi, do you want to respond at all to the contention that, you know, as an incumbent school board member in 2008, you decided to not run for another position or another term?
For family reasons, I didn't. Everybody knows that my track record speaks for itself in terms of the number of times and the strategy that we put in place to actually go to Bessie to reopen the school board and then reopen New Orleans public schools. There wouldn't be anything to brag about today if we had not done that. And I took the sacrifice of seven school board members as well as our families. And I understand that you have to have respect and a personal ethos that says you respect personal decisions and professional responsibilities. The public also knows that during 2005 to 2008, we had several successful federal investigations that led to the arrest and incarceration of various persons. And those and during that time, we also had two clean audits. So again, when you look at a ladder, when you look at a foundation of a house, you know that it rests on something. And so we put those tools in place where, in fact, we could have successful legislative audits, where, in fact, the public started to understand what it meant, what student achievement meant for every child in every school. And then the last thing we put in place was transparency with the charters, with Einstein, with Math and Science, Lusher, Elgin's Charter School Association. I'm not going to name them all, but we actually had them coming to student achievement meetings, and we were talking about what student achievement meant, not only for students who were in honors classes, but also what student achievement meant for students who had exceptionalities and students and families who could not understand what it meant to participate in a public school. And today we still have a growing number of homeless children and families who are unable to access this really Charlotte's web of public education, because in their minds it should be local and accessible. So they should walk out of their home, walk to the nearest school, and have a first-class education. And currently that's not in place. And so I'm looking forward to four more years of making sure that that kind of accessibility and accountability returns.
Well, actually, you know, if I may respond to that,
yeah.
You know, my opponent is being somewhat less, somewhat disingenuous, okay? The fact of the matter is, back in 2005, when they took office, they signed this MOU with this management company called Alvarez & Marsal. And in fact, they abdicated, the board did, my opponent did, abdicated their responsibility to the citizens of this city and turned over the management of the school district to this private firm. And you know what they did after Katrina? They fired over 7,000 employees that resulted in a lawsuit with a judgment against the school board and the state now that's going to be well over $1 billion. That's not leadership. That's not taking responsibility as an elected board member to do the job that you were elected to do. She walked away from this job in 2008 with nothing but gloom and doom for me coming in as the new board member. And we knew we were going to have challenges. And hitting the ground running, the lower ninth ward, they were left out of the master plan. This is a direct result of my opponent's failure. There were 90 plus millions of dollars of FEMA funding for the schools that were destroyed in the lower ninth ward after Katrina. You know how many dollars that the lower ninth ward got for the rebuilding of schools down there? Zero. My opponent is directly responsible for that. She allowed that money to be used in other areas of the master plan. But I led the effort when I came aboard in January of 2009, along with other elected officials, including Senator Mary Landrieu, and we fought to get monies reappropriated for the new Martin Luther King Jr. High School down in the lower ninth ward. And so, you know, when we, again, when we talk about leadership, you know, my opponent, you know, she's all over the place in giving you this rhetoric, and that's all it is. But I have delivered results, and I have a proven record of delivering results for my school district in the lower ninth ward, as well as in New Orleans East.
Well, we could talk about this specific issue all day, but we do have plenty more things to talk about. And I want to move on specifically to what you guys will bring to the table now as Orleans Parish School Board elected officials. So my first question is my second question is an ideological question. And I want to know if you guys think that the Orleans Parish School Board should ever be allowed to run more schools traditionally. Why or why not? And Heidi, I'll give you the chance to respond first.
Well, constitutionally, it is the responsibility of Orleans Parish School Board to run traditional schools. And so the answer is yes, we should. If you look at dollar per dollar, the inequity that currently exists between RSD, the Recovery School District schools versus independent charter schools versus the Orleans Parish School Board direct charter schools. You won't be able to solve that inequity by continuing to operate. It used to be bifurcated, which was two. Now it's multifaceted school district. Secondly, when you look at the protection and the leadership and the responsibility and the respect of teachers, that, in fact, currently right now is contention where we're almost facing a teacher walkout, a teacher strikeout, because we're in dire and desperate need of math, certified math teachers, certified science teachers, and certified special education teachers. And all over the 67 parishes, you've heard superintendent and school board members talk about the dramatic effect the legislation has taken, where retired teachers have actually stood up and walked out because they feel like their profession is not being respected. And so a part of that, when you put rules, transparent rules in place where teachers feel like they can be evaluated, receive the professional development that they deserve, receive the teacher's aids that they need so that their students who are struggling the hardest can get and achieve both in math and writing and reading. Then you get to a point where you say, okay, there are people in leadership who understand that this is what it takes. It takes more intervention in the classroom so that young people can be successful, so that we can reduce teacher burnout, and that collectively we can function as a first-class public school system.
Ira, I posed you the original question. Do you ever think that the Orleans Parish School Board should be allowed to run more schools traditionally? Why or why not?
Well, you know, nothing is preventing us from opening new schools. But, well, one thing is preventing us from doing that is when the state took over most of our schools, they took over our buildings as well. So we're limited in school buildings. But there's nothing that would prevent us if we had the facility of opening up additional schools. And I think we ought to do that. And I think at some point we'll get back to doing that. I can't disagree with my opponent. We agree on this one point, you know, that what's happening and has happened is that the Recovery School District has failed in its charge of turning around those failing schools. What they've done, they've closed the school and reopened them as charters. And so, and they continue to do that. Now, while some of their charters have been successful, and I applaud that, and I think we can have both direct run schools and charters, but where we are today, for example, Schaumburg is a school in my district that was a failing school. The RSD has failed to turn it around. And parents got letters just a couple of months ago that the school is closing. So here again, another neighborhood school, direct run school, is going to be shut down and done away with. And what happens to the students? They're scattered, you know, like cattle, you know, and parents have to now search for a school to send their children with. I didn't have that problem as a student going to school. I knew what elementary school I was going to, what middle school I was going to, and I knew what high school I was going to. At least we had some choices in terms even back then and what high schools we were going to go to. So we have gotten away from that, you know. So children don't know where they're going to be from year to year in the schools and in the RSD. And so I'd like to see, you know, the continual proliferation of charter schools, slowed down so that we can focus on those direct run schools. And I've reached out to the RSD and say, hey, let us, the OPSB, come in and work with you to address some of those concerns so that we can bring some resources in to help save those direct run schools.
So for those of you just joining us, we're sitting down with Ira Thomas, the incumbent for District 1, and Heidi Lovett-Daniels, the challenger for this district. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I want to move to a next question that I had, which actually plays off of some of the things that you were talking about in terms of just what have been some of the struggles with the charter school movement, with schools closing and then reopening under different names, and the kind of confusion that goes along with that for parents. And maybe you want to continue to elaborate off of this, Ira, and then I'll allow Heidi to say what she think have some of been some of the weaknesses of the charter school movement versus what have been some of its strengths. If you want to continue to talk about maybe that challenge or maybe other challenges that you've seen in the charter school movement, Ira.
Well, you know, we have a large number of charter schools in this city. We have 12 in Orleans Parish School District. Many of the charter schools have been successful. And they've done well, and the whole idea was supposed to provide parents with choice, And but if you talk to parents in my district, they'll tell you, you know, that their children aren't going to the school of their choice. You know, they're going to some secondary choices. And so they're not able to get their children in the school of their choice. Now, I get complaints from parents of special need kids, and they'll say that, hey, the charters turn away my child because they can't meet the needs of my child. In Orleans Parish, in our school system, we don't, in our direct run schools, we don't have that option, you know, and so we take all children as they come. And so that's been an issue that I've had with our charter schools that, hey, take whatever child comes to the door, you know, and develop an IEP for that child and educate them. So,
what do you think have been some of the charter movement's strengths, just to keep the conversation flowing and stay on time?
Well, you know, I think one strength that they have is that they have autonomy. So they can do their own hiring, their own firing, they report to their own boards, and so they can move things along rather quickly than a larger board such as the Orleans Parish School Board. So they have performed well in those areas. So I applaud them for that. It's just a longer process within the New Orleans public school system to achieve those things.
Heidi, what do you think have been some of the charter school movement's strengths and its weaknesses? You can start with the strengths first.
Two of the strengths might have been publicity and the galvanization of parent support. Two of the larger strengths have been organization around teacher accountability, and you have teachers who have 30 years getting paid less than teachers that have 5 years. You have teachers who do not understand what promotion looks like within their own school or the system of schools. You have teachers who are operating on 10-month contracts with no evaluation, no recommendations, no feedback as to whether they will continue their employment the following year, how they can improve, or where they can go. And at the bottom of it all, and the bottom and the top of it all, you don't have real student achievement. So you don't have it in a one-year period or even over a three-year period. What you do have is a revolving door of leadership who they're unable to pay for teacher retirement. They're unable to pay for building repairs. They're unable to pay for teacher pay raises, which is certainly unfair. And not what they promised to do when they decided to charter themselves.
A lot of the your answers have been centered around teachers, and that also ties into one of my next questions. I want to know, just specifically since Orleans Parish has come back after Katrina, there has not been room or even a discussion of bringing back the collective bargaining agreement with the teachers union. And I just want to know, maybe you can give me some of your ideas, Heidi, on do you think that it should be brought back, under what terms? Do you think that there's ever room for something like that to come back in a system where it's all choice?
We actually had on the table, and it was vetoed. We didn't get 4 votes. So we did review the collective bargaining agreement, and it was the skinniest bargaining agreement that the state of Louisiana ever had. And it basically just said that teachers had a right to be represented when they felt like they were being misused or mistreated in the building because your principal didn't like you or you might have been abused by a student. And that document was not approved. So the first answer is yes, collective bargaining should come back on the table because right now teachers have no representation. They could actually, as in the case of Coyne, be fired right on the spot with no repercussion, with no voice, with not an opportunity to appeal and represent themselves in a professional manner. And so there are two aspects that make up a public school system, their children and their teachers. Without either one, you don't have a school system. And certainly we have gone far too long in taking advantage of and not treating our teachers well in that regard, because they should be protected just like electricians and pipe fitters and plumbers. And what it says to our children as they matriculate through school is, should teacher education, should you even be a teacher? Should that be a career profession that you look towards? And because I'm a teacher in public school, I absolutely emphatically say yes, because without teachers, no one is going anywhere. No one's going to become a rapper. No one's going to become a basketball star or engineer or the next president. And so that is, you know, that conversation can occur again. That's not to stopping all these parish school board from engaging in that conversation, other than an apparent public fear of threat and misunderstanding about what a collective bargaining agreement is and how it can be managed.
Ira, maybe you can speak to, has the board even discussed this in the 4 years that you've been on it? And have you, what position have you taken in the discussion?
I agree with the points of my opponent here. And they were in talks with the union just prior to this board coming in January of 2009. But in January, when we came aboard, we had so many other challenges, you know, that we felt it wasn't time. The timing was not right for us to engage in union talks. As I mentioned, we had the deficits. We had the debt issue. We had retired school teachers who saw their health insurance premiums double by $400. And so they were calling upon the new board to do something to bring some relief to them. And so we had those front burner issues that we felt we had to deal with that were critical for the stability of the school district. And I should say we did bring that relief to our retired school teachers, and we reduced their monthly health care premiums by that same $400 and put that money back into their pockets, which was desperately needed for individuals on fixed incomes. But I come out of the police department, as you mentioned earlier. I was a former president of one of our unions, so I support workers' rights. President Obama supports it. It's important, as my opponent said, that people have, workers have security, and that security is simply to afford them some redress to issues that they have during their employment, and some safeguards. And so I support that. But the board did not feel at the time that was an important. Well, not important, but one of the front burner issues facing the board at the time. Now that 4 years later, I think there's an opportunity for us to reopen those talks going forward. But we've had a very good working relationship with Larry Carter and United Teachers of New Orleans, and we've worked together collaboratively, even without a collective bargaining agreement, to address a number of concerns that teachers have had.
Okay. My next question deals with board structure. And as of right now, there's been sort of a voting majority and a voting minority on the board. And these two factions have disagreed on issues, you know, everything from the appointment of the superintendent to the funding of the district's disadvantaged business enterprise program. And tensions between the two have been high. Heidi, I'll start with you. Do you think this type of dissension affects the board's ability to get things done? And do you have any insight on where it could come from?
When a board is not coherent and cohesive around student achievement, then everything else takes center stage. And so then you forget that, wow, every time I come and have committee meetings, I should really be talking about what kids need and how we're going to meet their needs over a 10-month period, a 3-year period, and a 5-year period. And so a part of it, I could see the distraction coming from the fact that if you didn't have a board retreat when you first got there to say, okay, this is where we want to be in 4 years and this is how we're going to get there, then you have distractions and confusion. The second thing is that you should be able to count the minutes per board meeting of how many times you talk about students and what students need. And so when you look at the agenda and you go, wow, this does not talk about student achievement. Why is this even on the agenda? Who's responsible for making this decision so we don't have to have this discussion? Then you find yourself in a mess, really. And what we did with the Broad Institute is we actually had board meetings taped so that professionals could give us feedback on what was a waste of time, what was nonsense, and what was useful. And so, you know, that matter can, at least in my mind, easily be addressed among adults, because you can just say, hey, here in this closed room, this is what's not making any sense. This is what's not moving forward. And here's, you know, from an objective, not someone who's already a part of it, but a third party to say, here's how you can clean this up and move forward and continuously work for children.
Ira, I'll go to you because you've been on the board and you experienced these issues firsthand. And at one point, I think during a public meeting, you even walked out because the tensions got so high. I mean, maybe you can explain to me and to readers and listeners, where do you think all that comes from? And you know, do you think it affects your ability to get things done?
Oh, let me say this. The Orleans Parish School Board, just like any public boards, you know, the city council, the legislature, you know, you're going to have some disagreements from time to time. If you look at the latest big issue on the Louisiana State Supreme Court, you know, so you're going to have these times when you've got a body of people in Orleans Parish School Board is no different. You got seven different minds who are coming together and trying to agree upon one thing. So are you going to agree on everything? No, you're not. So is there going to be some dissent? Yes, yes, indeed. You know, and this occurs all across the board. And so these two, the two issues primarily, you know, we disagreed on the appointment of the interim superintendent, and we disagreed upon the direction of our disadvantaged business enterprise program. And then a third dissent had to do with the leadership role on the board. So those are the three issues that I recall that we had some dissent. But apart from that, when you look at our record, my opponent just mentioned about student achievement and what we do in committee meetings, and that's where the meat of the work gets done. And when you look at the voting record, you'll see it's almost always been unanimous. So we come together when we talk about the management of the board, when we talk about student achievement, what's best for children, there's no disagreement there. We've come together, and we did have a retreat early on when we came. We set priorities. And I mentioned earlier that we decided not to focus on the collective bargaining thing. So we set the priorities. Collective bargaining was not one of those priorities, and we all were in agreement with that. So we understood going forward in our turn what we needed to do. If you go back, you check the record, you'll see that, hey, this board does work together. That's why we've achieved all that we have in just 4 years when critics said, you know, you weren't going to do it. You know, so we do get along. But there are times, you know, just like in any governing body, you know, you're going to have some issues that are going to be challenging for some board members and for the board as a whole. And those were the three areas. But I think overall, you know, we've kept it together and we've made sound decisions that continue to move our school district forward.
It's interesting that you focus now on the policy aspect of it. Now, before, as we've talked throughout the year, I've covered these board meetings frequently, and you mentioned that some things you felt were racial. Is that, I mean, has that still been a concern, or is that something that now you don't stand by that anymore?
Oh, I still stand firm on it. I think that this board was racially divided when it came to the leadership role. I mean, if, again, you check the record, you know, and I was very, very vocal about that. I didn't mince my words then, and I won't mince my words now. You know, that the vote for the leadership was made solely along racial lines. And so that
and
is
when
something.
When you say leadership, are you speaking of the appointment of the president or the
appointment of? Yeah, there are two leadership roles on the board, principally as president and vice president. And so, you know, we certainly have to deal with that going forward, because in January we'll be electing new leadership. Will it be an issue then? I don't know. I hope not. I hope that, you know, the board that goes forward will have that level of respect for one another and recognizing that we all bring something different to the table. But collectively, you know, we can work together as we have in the past 4 years, despite those differences, you know, to move the school district forward.
Okay. In terms of what makes you different from your opponent, this is your chance to kind of go forward and just talk about basically to the voters, talk to them directly and tell them what sets you out and what makes you stand apart. And Heidi, you have the floor.
Well, three things make me set me apart. One, I'm a teacher in public school. So you can't fake those credentials that I have, nor the wonderful experiences that I've had, because I'm actually there in the front lines, participating in student achievement and student development and having a good time. I teach math. Secondly, is that my comprehensive knowledge and understanding and the effectiveness of what it takes to move young people who come into the classroom not on grade level, but get them there on grade level with their teachers, with their administration in the building, and the district as a whole is there, and it's in writing. Third is that my reputation of working with professionals to achieve the same goal, which is to make sure that our children are number one in everything that they do, stands there. So you have parents who, when I wasn't on the board, who called and said, Heidi, look, this 504 meeting is not going to happen. I need some help. I can't get anybody to represent me or call me back. And I did that in my, in my spare time. When you have students who said, look, we don't have any, we have total chaos. We don't have any fair representation. And what can you, you know, how can you guide us through this process so that we graduate on time? And so it's there, as well as reasonable and fair treatment of individuals and the respective individuals. It's there. And so those are the qualities and attributes and the experiences, as well as just the passion and the enthusiasm and the love that I have for working with young people I bring to the table.
Ira, maybe you can speak to what sets you apart, what you bring to the table. It's your chance to kind of leave your last impression to voters.
Oh, I hope it's not the last impression, but I think that what's clearly what separates me from my opponent is leadership, is effective leadership on the board. You know, my opponent talks about the fact that she's a teacher, and that's great. She talks about her knowledge, and she talks about her reputation. And those are things that are fine for the classroom, you know, but that's not the responsibility of a board member. We hire a superintendent. It is his superintendent's responsibility to educate children. The board's responsibility is to set policy and to set benchmarks for the superintendent and hold the superintendent accountable. The other and that's what we have done effectively, more effectively than any board in the history of the Orleans Parish School System. We've worked with our superintendent, and we have sat back and allowed him to do his job. And that's what we have to continue to do going forward. If my opponent wants to teach, then she should go into the classroom and teach. But the board's responsibility is not to educate, but it is to make sure that the superintendent does his job and that we manage the public's funds properly, that we're fiscally sound. And we've done that. I've been accessible to my school district. I did not turn my back on my district as my opponent did in the Lower Ninth Ward. And she talks about teaching. Well, you got to provide facilities for students first. And she failed in her effort to see that any $1 of the 90 plus millions of dollars that were allocated for schools lost as a result of Katrina and the Lower Ninth Ward went to those schools. And so I led the effort to get monies appropriated for that. And I'm proud about that. Out in New Orleans East, Lake Forest Charter, one of our nationally ranked charter schools, needed a site to build a new school. When I came aboard, monies were appropriated, but there was no site for them to build the school. I helped to appropriate $1.2 million for the purchase of a 16-acre site in New Orleans East for the building of Lake Forest Charter School. So, you know, it's effective leadership and being accessible to the community. I've done that. And I think that, you know, those are the attributes of a board member is what people are looking for in leadership. And I think I represent that.
We've got a couple more minutes left. I want to give you a chance to respond to the Ninth Ward claim, because it's come up twice and I didn't give you a chance to respond to it the first time. And we've got a couple minutes left. So if you want to speak to that at all and just kind of say what your role was in that.
King,
what was it?
There wasn't a role, because Martin Luther King Jr. School was one of those schools that fell below the state performance level. And so they were a part of Act 35. They were not allowed to reopen after Hurricane Katrina. And so what happened was there were a number of entities that contacted the school board, including themselves, that said, hey, we're going to Bessie. We had actually put, we had a list of schools that we opened and said, these are additional schools that we open. So we actually started that list and sent that list to Bessie to awaken their eyes as to what was needed in the state. And we actually went to Bessie to represent not only King, but we also went to Bessie to represent the school, I forgot the name, it was in the Lakeview area. So it was about five different schools all over the city that we actually went to Bessie to represent and said, okay, here's what we have to offer and here's how we can help. And the Bessie was so chaotic at the time, both in terms of its own infrastructure and its leadership, that they said, okay, we're going to figure this out. We're going to help you. When you look at what the population requires and what we need to support, now you're looking at student performance scores from King because it expanded from a K-8 now all the way to K-12. And so then it actually was more than $90 million, and that was never off the table because we, in fact, charted out what FEMA owed to each school district and still owes to each school district and led that conversation about building repairs and what needed to be demolished. That, you know, but I understand the how it sounds, you know, and what it looks like. But in factually, that's how it all got started before I left the board. So they actually were open before I left as its own entity and chartered by the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. The way the legislature is structured, they could not come back to the Orleans Parish School Board to be reopened. So, you know, and those students, as well as the residents in that neighborhood, are keenly aware of how the events played out about the legislation and everything. And so when people even come to me and ask me, they're like, Heidi, you just gonna, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, well, you remember history, and history speaks for itself. So there's no such thing as who didn't show up and who didn't say what, because it's all recorded. It's both recorded in meeting minutes as well as it's recorded on videotape.
Well, thank you so much for addressing that claim, and I just want to thank you guys both for coming out. I really appreciate it. It was great to have you. Coming up next, candidates from District 2. I'm Jessica Williams from The Lens, and this is the District 2 Orleans Parish School Board candidate debate. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to present these conversations with candidates, one for each district, to better inform our readers and listeners. In this district, we have incumbent Cynthia Cade, a longtime preschool director, challenger Darrell LaRon, an insurance and real estate agent, and challenger Dwight McKenna, a physician. Mr. McKenna couldn't join us today due to tensions that surfaced at other recent forums between he and other candidates. He declined to our offer to attend. We also were unable to get in contact with Mr. LaRon in advance of the time that we were scheduled to meet today. That said, we do have one candidate who's here and who's ready to speak with us on the issues, so we're going to get right to it. The first question I want to ask Ms. Cade is, what do you see as some of the strengths of the Orleans Parish School Board over the last 4 years, and what do you think has have been some of its weaknesses? Please,
well,
be us. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you, Jessica, and to the WWNO listening audience and the Lens. I thank you for having us, now me, to come before you to speak about the Orleans Parish School District. And it's a good question. What do you think, what do I think are some of the accomplishments that we've had as a board? Well, I can go back 8 years because I was first elected to serve on the board in 2005. We were sworn in that January, and of course, Katrina came that August, which was 8 months later. We hit the ground running and reopened schools in November of 2005. The strengths that I found with that board was we worked together and we kept the focus of it being children. What was best for the children? And of course, at that time, we were thinking about getting schools open as soon as possible. That's how you had the first cluster of schools that came together to be chartered under the Argeas Charter schools that's under OPSB. We chartered the schools through monies that we received from a grant to get schools open and did as much as we could on this side of the river, on the east side, to get schools open. It was a good board. I enjoyed working with that board. This new board came in and finished the work that we started. We approved a master plan with the first board that I was on, and we opened the schools. That's what I can say was a lot. Of course, during that time, we didn't know. A lot of people didn't know, because this was the first time a school district had ever had to open or reopen a real school district after a devastation such as Katrina. So with this present board, when you speak about the accomplishments, I can say that I've worked well with the present board that we have now, and we have continued to build on the success of the board that was from 05 through 08. With this board, we've accomplished keeping our finances in order. As you know, we've had six now unqualified audits, and that means that any auditor can come in and look at our books. We have outside auditors that come in to look at the books. So I know that the taxpayers should be happy about that. They know that their tax dollars are actually going to the schools and in the classrooms. I'm happy about our test scores. We're now second in the state, and we just got a new report that we're still holding second. Next year, I'm in hopes that we'll be first, but we're still, it's so much better than when I first came on the board. And not any of my opponents can say that. You know, my life has been dedicated to education. So working with the board, the accomplishments, we have turned our school around as far as finances are concerned, and we've put them second in the state as far as academics is concerned.
What about the weaknesses in the last 8 years?
I'll say the weaknesses of the last 8 years is a lot inheriting five new board members, them having to come in and become acclimated. You know, you have good intentions, but when you're running for a school board, if you've never sat on a school board before and worked with the administration, worked with the community, you may have good intentions. And then you find out when you're actually sworn in and you begin to serve that it's not quite like I thought it would be. So if the weaknesses, I would say that they had to go through a learning process of what a board actually their duties. We are to set policies. We're not to micromanage. Mm-hmm. And you say a lot of things, and you hear opponents say a lot of things on the campaign trail. They're going to do this. All they can do is go back to their community, talk with their constituents, get what the constituents' desires are for their community, come together with their other board members and the superintendent, see if they can put these policies in place to have these things happen. Of course, you have to also learn about lobbying, because we have to hire lobbyists to go into Baton Rouge every legislative session. And that's how we've gotten into the situation where we are now with the RSD. A lot of people don't understand that. That's the Recovery School District, direct-run schools that are not charter, the OPSB. It's a conglomerate of school districts now. It's not just one top-down, you know, heavy top-down. So you have to even learn that. Anyone that's running for the board now have to understand the Orleans Parish School Board is nothing like it was when I first came aboard 8 years ago. Imagine someone trying to come back to the board after 20 years being away.
So I want to move on to the next question, which is around board structure. As of right now, there's been a voting majority and a voting minority on the board. You know, these two sides have disagreed on everything from the appointment of the superintendent to the funding of the district's disadvantaged business enterprise program. And tensions between the two have been sort of fiery over the last year. Maybe you can speak to why you think some of this has come about, and also whether or not you think that this type of dissension affects the board's ability to get things done.
Well, you mentioned the superintendent, mm-hmm. and you mentioned the DBE program and the division of the voting. Well, I take responsibility for the DBE program. I started that before this new board came aboard. When we were dealing with going into adopting the master plan, then Superintendent Paul Passerack and Paul Vallis, Superintendent of the Recovery School Districts, we would have meetings. And this is what was promised to myself, Dr. Sanders, and the other board members that we had, that we would have local DBE participation. These are federal dollars, and I wanted to make sure that local businesses would get involved with rebuilding of the schools here in the city of New Orleans. And they went on record to say, of course it would be. However, the Recovery School District have, with Act 35, seized most of the schools. So that's where the bulk of the monies would have gone, over to the Recovery School District. So that's the state now. So now I'm having to challenge and work with the state to say, well, you all are not using DBEs, and they're saying that the state doesn't have to. That's coming from the governor, Bobby Jindal. They don't have to use DBE. So I fought for a while with that, getting with the attorneys and all. Now we have a DBE program, and it took me a while because, you know, we are an elected official. You understand? And this is political. It is political, Jessica. And maybe some of my colleagues on the board felt that they did not want to really come out front to say that they were really for the DBE program, because now you're dealing with the prime contractors. That means the big contractors who are actually able not only to bid but to fund your campaign. And I wasn't concerned about that. I was concerned about the economic development and getting involved with local small businesses who I know are great businesses. This is the backbone of our city, our small local businesses. You have big businesses that'll come in. They're going to make the money and take that tax dollars back home. It's not going to stay here in New Orleans.
So you think that some of the problem was they wanted to support the bigger businesses, whereas you want to support...
I'm not going to say what they wanted. I'm mm-hmm. just saying that they didn't really support me.
And what about the appointment of the superintendent? Why do you think that some of the dissension came about between yourself and the other board members with that?
Being an educator, Jessica, I felt that we had qualified people here in the district that actually had doctorate degrees that could have followed in the footsteps of Mr. Darrell Kilbert and kept our academic side working, and worked with our CFO, then present CFO, to keep the finances going. It was a good match. And so I'm saying, let's get someone that's qualified, certified, and have the credentials to sit in a place, even if it's interim. Let it be a qualified interim. Now, we know that Stan Smith, our CFO, it's not qualified for a superintendent because he's CFO. He's a chief financial officer. So I'm saying keep the curriculum side and the financial side moving. Now, we had to make it a quick decision, but I was not in agreement with putting a CFO as our superintendent, even interim, who's working now with the CFO. You have slash. To me, that's kind of contradictory. You know, I'm not for it. I voted against it. And that's the way I feel. We should have had someone working, coming from the curriculum side. We've always had Dr. Rosalind Dennis in the absence of Mr. Kilbert, who's already there.
In terms of even with just differences on policy issues, do you think that if you're elected, how will you work to make sure that those differences don't turn into the heated screaming matches that have happened at some of the public meetings that at least I've attended? How will you work together to ensure that that type of thing doesn't happen? Do you think that affects your ability to be able to set policy effectively?
Well, anyone, I think the public understands that we're seven different board members. Seven different personalities, seven different needs in our various districts. I don't think that the public would expect us to just sit down totally for every board meeting and just kumbaya and rubber stamp everything. there are going to be some heated discussions at times because that's how passionate we are about education. But at the end of the day, I think we should be able to keep the focus on what's best for the education system here in the city of New Orleans.
Okay. If you are elected...
when I'm elected.
If you are elected, what will you uniquely bring to the position that your opponents cannot? And this is your chance to make your closing statement and kind of leave your last impressions on the voters.
Okay, Jessica, thank you for that question. When I'm reelected to the board on November the 6th, I bring back the experiences that I've had. I'm the only candidate in District 2 that have dedicated their life to education. I was asked in 04 to run by educators, three principals. I was asked to run for that position. It was an open seat. One of my challengers, Dr. Dwight McKenna, who has left, he's gone to prison. He was in 92. He was serving on the board and left to go serve time in prison. My other challenger, Mr. Laurent, he's in insurance. He's 26 years old. So he's not any of my opponents can actually say that they have the experience. They've dedicated their life to education, and that's what I've done. While being on the board, I've actually led the policy committee into changing and revamping a whole new policy structure for the Orleans Parish School Board. I led the fight with the DBE program, and though it was a lot of contention at time, we still wound up with a 7-0 vote. You understand? So also I've worked with the health and wellness committee, being a chair of the policy committee, and we got our school cafeteria whole lunch program that we've gotten a national award for this year, taking out a lot of the junk foods and replacing it with nutritional foods, vegetables and juices instead of the sodas. And also when I'm elected to go back on the board, Jessica, I want to bring the strengths that I've gained, the experience that I've gained to continue to work. And now we're second and we have 6 unqualified audits. I think we're on the right track. I want to keep it moving. We have some other things to do. We're not there yet. There are some other things to do. I'm not satisfied with the children riding on the buses and all across the city. Bringing the neighborhood schools back. There are some things that I still desire must be done in order for us to get our school district back to where I'd like to see it. So I'm number 81, and when I get back, I plan on doing these things.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Ms. Cade. We really appreciate you, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you, Jessica, for having me, and thank you to your listening audience.